Start recording. And I'm calling this special meeting of the Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission to order at 7:33 p.m. And I am appointing Rhea Klein for Arlene Fiano and Peyton Rutledge for Kawan Golden. Okay, and we have there's no minutes, there's no public comment. So the old business is discussion amendments to the zoning regulations for housing to address state requirements. Would you like to, how would you like to proceed, Patrice?
I will start by going over some of the stuff. And like I said, Mike should be joining us a little late. And I think it just would be helpful to have him here too while we go through this. So I don't want to repeat things, or you don't have to repeat things as well. So I can go through some of this that I know he's aware of. So the first items I should talk to you about is what is in front of you. You have an agenda, and underneath the agenda, there are several. Sorry, hang on a second. I'm trying to fix something here because it's not looking right. There we go. Okay. There should be a copy of the regulations, I think, that you were sent. Underneath that, I believe, is a copy of the same regulations with Tom's edits on them. And the edits for Tom are in blue. I apologize. I could not get them to print out lighter than that. So what we'll do is we'll share them on the screen so we can see what you're looking at. They're just very hard to read. That's the light blue too. I'm not sure why it printed out that color. I did everything. I could not find a way to get that to
It
not
was
do
worse on
that.
my office copy.
Oh, was it? Okay. And then under that, Ellie and Kwan, I know doesn't mind Ellie. I hope you didn't mind that I'm sharing both Kwan's comments and Ellie's comments, because I thought both were good, and we'll be addressing them anyway. So I figured if everybody had them in front of them, that we can use that way. So I think the goal for tonight, unless you have a different goal in mind, is the regulation or the legislation goes into effect as of July 1st. The goal for tonight would be to send a referral to CROG tomorrow. And I think whatever we come up with tonight is what I will send to get the clock rolling for the referral so we can have the public hearing before July 1st. I don't think you're going to be able to hold your hearing on July 10th because I won't have enough time to notify the newspaper. I'm sorry, June 10th, which is your next meeting. So we can talk about after we see how far we get, and I'm hoping we get through the whole thing, but we can talk about how you wanted to do this. Do you want to keep the June 10th meeting just to continue conversation based on where we are at the end of tonight? Do you want to cancel the 10th and set up a meeting for public hearing like on the 17th or the tw actually I don't know if the 17th but the 24th might work, or have the 10th as a regular meeting and the 24th as the public hearing. So we'll have to be thinking about that. If you hold the public hearing on the 24th, you're going to need to open and close it and make a decision so that things can go to things can get put in the regulations for the July 1st deadline. I'm not really panicked about not having something in place by July 1st, only from the standpoint that there is nobody that I know of or that Mike knows of that's, you know, sitting at the door outside waiting with an application to come in and apply under regulations that we either don't have or new regulations. So I'm not that concerned about it, but I don't think we should belabor this if we don't have to either. The other thing I want to say is, I know, Tom, in your comments, I think if I read them correctly, it seemed like you were trying to address all of the housing issues, but I'm not
Yes.
sure about that. Okay. And I think what Mike and I were sort of discussing this, we wanted to try and make this a regulation that just addresses that legislation. And Kwan actually had a comment in his comments under number one in the terminology. And he said, because the one of the first things that's highlighted is the name of this. What do you want to call it? In other places, people are calling it middle housing, and in some places they're calling it transit housing, mixed use housing. So we have the right to name it whatever you'd like. Kwan, I think, makes a good point in the sense that he says he suggests to replace the term middle housing throughout the document with transit community housing development or commercial conversion residential development. And he's using that because that is what the statute calls it. So it would be clear what this is addressing in the regulations at this point. So I think that's not a bad idea. I'm not married to middle housing. We just left middle housing in there because this is what Willington has happened to be calling it. So I didn't know if anybody had given that any thought in what you might like to call this type of housing. Also, Tom, because of that, I think trying to just address the areas of commercial with this particular regulation to start with in relation to the statute is probably the cleanest way to do it. And then I think after that, if we wanted to go further and look at all the rest of things that are going on, we can. You have to excuse me for a second. I have to take this call. I'm sorry. I
Yes.
apologize. It's just my sister-in-law. My father-in-law is sick, so I need to take
Oh,
this.
I'm sorry.
What do folks think?
But what we call it?
Yeah.
Are both of those names in the statute?
Yeah.
Kwan suggests that.
Yes, and you'll see in right on the first page, she defines middle housing as being both of those things because that's what's in the statute. Now, the word transit to me means temporary. Is
Well,
this supposed to be temporary?
I don't think I like the transient thing. I mean, I wouldn't feel that I was really comfortable living in a transit housing development.
Does
Because
that refer to like transportation?
yeah,
Like
buses, the
that's
bus. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh,
That's I access to. Yeah.
yeah. Okay,
Yeah.
that's different because I think the sound of that is very close to transient, which is
Yeah.
yeah. So I don't mind middle housing
I don't
because
either.
and the reason I don't mind it is because I'm so used to it now. That's being on the Regional Planning Commission and everybody, that's the way everybody's talking about it. So I'm comfortable with that term, but I think it is important to define it the way that it's been defined so it ties it back to the statute.
Right.
Yeah. And I find transit community housing development or commercial conversion residential, I just find it awkward phrasing.
It doesn't sound very homey, does it?
I would agree with
I
you.
understand his, I understand Kwan's point, but
Patrice, I have just a question. So I see like Kwan's, I see my feedback, and the blue is Tom's comments. Does that mean that nobody else sent you anything ahead of time?
I didn't get anything else ahead of time, no.
Okay.
I talked to Tom about a couple of things. It doesn't count, I know.
Yep,
It does come. No.
just wanna state for the record, those of you who didn't do your homework, you're publicly shamed.
Nice.
Yeah,
Okay, yes.
I understand it, TCHD also, it doesn't really roll off the tongue if you're trying to, like we tend to abbreviate to the first letters, like to create an acronym. So I don't, I don't know what you,
Sounds like chaos to
maybe
me.
Mike has a reason why they called it middle housing, and I think the reason they did is just because that's how it's been referred to. Did I hear you say that, Tom? So, anyway,
It's
that's.
this the kind of housing that's in between, in the middle, between single family and great big apartment buildings. That's what we're talking.
And commercial conversion residential development does describe it, except there will be places where you're not necessarily converting a commercial space into residences. There may be empty commercial property and they may be building new housing. So again, that to me, that's more middle type housing. But we do have to come to a, we're not all going to agree on every point here. So we have to somehow find consensus and see what you can live with to move forward, knowing that if we have to go back and change things, we can, but there is then at least something in place.
Do we want to go issue by issue and do a vote? I think we should just go through the whole thing and then talk about it.
Okay.
Right. I just got a text from Mike. He'll be here in two minutes. So
Okay.
we can either wait for him or we can go through however you want to do it. I don't know. I was going to say, Ellie, I don't know if you wanted to, if there's anything you wanted to bring up in your particular comments that you thought might be important. You did have sort of summarized it in the bottom at the end.
Yeah, sure. Most, I mean, you can thank you for printing this out. This is super helpful, just to have everyone be able to see it. But I just kind of took a look at, like, there's a Route 6 Hop River Corridor transportation study and a Route 44 strategic corridor planning study. And so I just looked at those because those seem to be like likely candidates for where some of this stuff might go. And so, like, if you look at the back, like the Route 44 study, I think this is the piece that like I'm particularly interested in. Like where it talks about physical features can be installed to create a greater awareness on the part of the motorists traveling through the area and alert them to the community nature of the roadway. Like I feel like that is like kind of in line with like at least where I would want to preserve that like community nature feeling of the roadway. And so some of these things here, like street trees, road edge landscapings, maybe shorter setbacks, I think are the things that stood out to me as being in line with things that it seems like the town has already sort of agreed are important and could be good candidates for like throwing into something like this.
It's a good point. The only thing for routes like 44 and 6, the highway right of way is a little bigger than it is on a normal street. It's probably anywhere it could anywhere from 60 to 100 feet, depending on where you are along either one of those roads. And so when you have the state owning the first 16 to 20 feet of your property, you're not allowed to plant trees. You've got to be careful what you plant in there because they can come in and remove it or take it out anytime they want. So
Okay.
we do just have to be careful about requiring too much that they have to be out of the right of way. So a lot of times they may not look like they're actually on the edge, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
They'd be back a ways.
that's a great thing.
But it's certainly we already require street trees in subdivisions. So I don't think it's a heavy lift to ask for some kind of landscaping or trees in the front, provided you're not, you don't need the front for parking. I think if you have an existing commercial building that's not being used and you've got a parking lot in the front, you probably don't want to make them dig up the whole parking lot to do that. Maybe they could put some islands in with trees in it or something like that to do. But and here comes Mike. So I think, there might be some kind of happy medium there.
I read some definitions on middle housing from page one of our packet. Perfect sixes. I'm familiar with that as a historical kind of multifamily house in Hartford built around 100 years ago. How is there a specific definition as to what a perfect six is?
Yes, Yes, I think it's the way the house is built. It's three, three, and three on each side, or three units on each side. I'm pretty sure. But yeah, if you're right where it comes from Hartford. There's a lot of them that they've tried to preserve in Hartford. And I don't know if there's an actual
Yeah.
official definition,
Is that
but I
a
think there
picture?
might be.
That picture right here. Okay.
Yeah, there is a picture in the back.
It's in the page six of the public hearing draft. It's the middle
Yeah.
row of pictures on the right. It's the perfect six.
The multiplex, this one. Well, we never heard of that.
And also what the definition of a cottage cluster is.
So a cottage cluster, so now there's a picture here. No, we don't have a picture of a cottage cluster, but it would be a number of units on a single property with, it's serviced by a small driveway, or perhaps the driveways are on the outside in a small courtyard. Typically, you see them at the Cape Cod
Okay.
or ocean areas, but they're becoming more popular as sort of small areas of subdivision as opposed to.
So you're seeing this about how many units are they attached these units to each other or totally separate?
I don't know if, I'm not sure if they're attached or totally separate. The ones I've seen have been separated as the small single family units.
Yeah,
Okay.
they're separate units. There's two examples of cottage units in the graphics.
Was there?
I'm trying to load the
Mike,
page.
I can put this up on the screens if that's going to help. I didn't
Sure.
actually see
Oh,
it. It.
the
Do you guys
problem
mind
is
if
it
I do
goes
that?
on
It's
for
going to
two
be easier to go
pages.
through.
So existing commercial to residential conversion is this, whereas these are the cottage units down here at the bottom of page six. Oh. Welcome.
Yeah. They're typically from
Well, I don't see
lot.
on bottom of page six.
So he's looking at he I think he's looking at this one.
Oh, okay.
So it's I think that
It's
we're
the
just saying
very
that
bottom.
these are the cottages, and so it would just be like clusters of
Oh,
those, I think is what we're saying. Is that
okay.
what we're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It's just the pages are different because of all the comments.
Yeah.
The cottage would
So
be connected by a little like just, yeah, that's one of those urban things. I know people that live in subdivisions where each house is just connected by the garages maybe, and so they are connected, but they're houses.
they can sometimes be referred to as pocket neighborhoods, or so it's essentially, between 2 and 9 deep, fully detached single family homes that are generally one floor. The examples that I have here are come out of a project in Massachusetts, and they're all, fully independent. But they're usually surrounding some type of a central court, but they don't have to be. There's no specific definition in the bill.
Okay. Are they usually using common utilities like sewer and water?
I think they would all be have to be separate.
Right.
Whether they all fed into something community-based, they would all be have their own independent utilities at the unit.
A good example of this locally, Willimantic Camp Meeting Association,
Which was also built about 100 years ago.
Yeah.
That is on, oh, for those of you who wonder, that is some there's one on Martha's Vineyard, but it is an old religious complex that had a center meeting house area, and then all these little summer cottages around it to facilitate big religious revival kind of things, for the Methodists of all things. That's why you have Kent Meeting Road. It used to be a Kent Meeting site ages ago, but those are all tiny, cute little cottages around the central area. But it doesn't apply to us because it's very old.
I guess, like, in the interest of moving this along, it is 7:53 and we are still talking about what to call this.
Sorry.
No, you're good. That was fascinating.
So let me, I'm going to stop this here. Mike, we were discussing the name, middle housing, and Kwan had mentioned that he thought it should be transit community housing development or commercial conversion residential development, so that it's more directly referring to the statute. Can you tell these guys why middle housing was chose for the name of what was done in Wellington?
So every regulation that I've written, we've used middle housing as the term, and it's for a couple of reasons. One, the bill, because the legislature essentially got lazy, they just used transit community middle housing because it was a term that already existed, but it has no correlation to transit. And so a lot of people think when they hear that term that there is some connection to bus, rail, whatever, and there isn't. But also, because the bill provides for allowing transit community middle housing, which would be a fully residential building or buildings of 2 to 9, or mixed use, which is the same thing, only there is a commercial component, we would have to create sort of two sets of standards, one that would apply for a residential development and one that would apply for commercial conversion or mixed use from new. So by putting them under a single umbrella, we're creating a new term so that we're treating them consistently throughout each of the commercial zones.
That's good enough for me. And so that's why it's defined.
Right. Yep. So we are, And the one thing that I'll mention, I heard, and I'm Patrice, and I may have talked about this on Tuesday. We heard on Friday at the Hot Topics in land use law discussion, is that there was a bill that was proposed that would allow this, would have mandated that towns also allow this in industrial zones. It didn't pass because CCAPA opposed it, what's his name? Speaker Rojas, his chief of staff was there and made it very clear they intend to bring that bill back this session. So I think that we're going to have a lot more to come on these topics. So we're trying to create this broad category so that if we get hammered by some new change and bright idea next session, we have one place to go in the regulations. We're not trying to sort of pigeonhole further refinements.
So you could just add to your list the industrial zone, and everything else could hopefully be applicable still.
Right. Right.
Can we get a consensus on the name? Anybody else want to offer anything else?
I like the middle housing. I definitely don't like transient. I just feel that I wouldn't want, I don't know. I just, sounds like a gypsy move.
Yes.
Yeah, as I said, I'm so familiar with it from all the discussion at different forums that I'm willing to accept middle housing, well defined as it is here.
Okay. So we will use middle housing as the term. I don't think you'll be disappointed. So I have what I don't know what you would you rather me put this up on the screen, or would you rather follow along with what you have in front of you?
I think we can follow along.
You put it up on the, I haven't been home, so
sorry, Jim. And should I put, what I'll do is I will put Tom's version up, because Tom had a lot of changes and we can look at those. Is that all right?
Sure.
That sounds good. Let's follow along.
Share and figure out where stuff is. Okay, I think it's that one. So we've got the middle, we've got middle housing settled. And so I explained, Mike, before you got here, that we were trying to just address this and not include the residential zones and all the other stuff at this point, although we can go back and do that later, but in just trying to address the particular legislation, that's how we had written it. So I know Tom has got it here as ref sections when referenced. Can we change your mind about going back to how it was presented, Tom?
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier, certainly.
Okay. So in that case, then we would go back to the section applies to the developments that include, and then leave this table in. These are all our commercial zones, or anything that has a commercial use in it. Does not include any residential zones, and it does not include the industrial zone at this point, which, as Mike said, may change. The next part is the definition of middle housing, so that sort of takes care of how it attaches to the statute. Mike, you want to describe, talk about the process?
Yeah. Sure. So we're just codifying here the application process, because summary review, the commission is not in a position of being able to get an application and say, well, we want a stormwater report. Well, we want building elevations. You can't decide you don't have enough information when the application is in front of you. We need to outline explicitly what's required. So we are pointing to all of the existing standards within the regulations, again, to make sure that we're being consistent in what we are requiring. So the references that you see here in green are to the standards which you currently have, which would apply to any other application. And then we've refined them a little bit just to make clear we want the most recent, standards pertaining to stormwater quality for DEEP. They have a new manual that was adopted in 24. We're asking for a floor plan to show how the interior of the building is going to be utilized, and building elevations which demonstrate compliance with the requirements herein. So again, not pointing to anything because we established those standards further down. The next section, evaluation of middle housing, that is the process as outlined in the bill, verbatim. So it's just explaining again what it will be, and how they'll be reviewed and processed. We then create a sort of draw a line in how these applications will be handled. And so in at the top of that page there in yellow, you will see, under number one, and two, those would go to the commission for review. And then the second section to that, administrative approval to town planner, would be projects that wouldn't go to the commission to review. And the thing that I would note, because some of you may be thinking, oh, I'm not sure, I think we want to see all of these, which would be fine. I just finished a meeting where we had this conversation and that's what they decided. Just remember that you can't apply any different standard, require anything additional, have a public hearing, or make any subjective or arbitrary sort of evaluation. So the answer that you will come to in does it comply or not will be the same as if a staff person were to do that review, or in, I guess in theory, but the regulations would sort of require that same evaluation.
And I had a question here in I1, what the meaning of the expansion of an existing building of more than 2,000 square feet. Does that mean you start out with a building of 2,000 square feet and expand it, or you expand the building so that it becomes more than 2,000 square feet?
So yeah, good point. Patrice and I were wondering what
You
you
were
meant by
asking.
meaning. But I think the intent here is if someone proposes to expand a building by 2,000 square feet or more, regardless of the existing size,
The
a
expansion of an
2,000.
existing building by more, and it's, in other words, it should be by instead of by more
Correct.
than 2,000. Okay.
So by here.
Prepositions matter.
Yeah.
I have a question. A sewer and water, of course, is covered completely by existing re regulations, right?
Yes.
Public health. Okay, so you want this to read applications which propose the construction of one or more. So now, Mike, just this is not in the statute, right?
What?
This number I1.
There's no language in the statute that talks about how this is supposed to be reviewed. So some towns, because of the way that it's been identified, have said it's just approved by the ZEO, and some towns are saying everyone goes to the commission. The statute defines the process, but does not define or specify what entity does the review.
Right. So the commission has to make a decision here and either come to some consensus or whatever. But do you want to have a separate view, some things that would be approved by staff or some things that would be approved by planning and zoning? Or do you want to look at them all? And if you want to look at them all, then this whole section changes, right, Mike? You would,
If
you know, you.
you wanted to look at them all, then we would strike it.
Right. And we could put it up here somewhere that the Planning and Zoning Commission will do all the review. It's your call. I think what was happening here in one and two was there were parameters for when, you know, this expansion of a larger building, that would be something that would go to the Planning and Zoning Commission, or applications which proposed the creation of five or more residential units, that those would go to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Anything less than five would be done by staff. That was sort of a defining line as to which applications would go where. We didn't know what your preference would be here. We didn't know if you wanted to see them all. Or if you wanted the staff to see them all, or if you want to see some of them, and what your line is.
I think it would be appropriate for the Planning and Zoning Commission to take the larger ones as proposed and just let staff handle others.
Okay.
Yeah,
Can
and I
you
agree. I think that staff, the only question I have is that when we write this, when this regulation goes into effect, I mean, it's nice now because we have a good staff. And I don't want to say anything bad, but there has been times when we did not have a good staff. And some of those things would concern me. So at some point, if we wanted to change it, could we change it or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
We could. Okay, then I think we should go with the flow. And I think, you know, I think all the smaller stuff, I think staff should review.
And I also think on 2.1, applications which propose the creation of less than five residential units or through the conversion of space within an existing building. In other words, it's just an existing building, it's not being expanded. I think that's what you mean. Because otherwise it's only for existing buildings if you.
Right. Yeah, that is more clear. The other thing that I would just note to keep in mind is that we do have language in the table that is proposing to limit the total unit size. So even with all of this stuff at the threshold of five, you're still talking a building that's going to be less than 5,000 square feet total if they were building it from scratch. So you're not talking about a large development. You're not talking about a lot of activity or construction. These are going to be fairly small, even if they build them to the maximums. So, not, I don't think there's an inherent, risk with some of this stuff. And we can, refine it as much as necessary after some of them come in, if some of them come in.
They will come.
All right. So then you want to, again, I'll let you be the chairman, Mr. Chairman, but do we have a consensus on this item here? So
Does
we would.
anyone object to my proposed text changes?
I don't think so, because it's not like we're making a decision. We're just sort of saying, did you do everything we asked you to do? Yes. Okay, sure. Like, right? Is that how I'm understanding it?
And even when the zoning commission reviews, actually does the review, staff is going to do it first.
Yeah. I think that at least to try it out for now. And if we do need to change it later, we can do it. So.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should go with that.
Okay, so I1 would read exactly as it reads, but add of an existing building of more than 2,000 square feet. Was that the addition?
By more. An existing building
Yeah.
by more than 2,000
By
square
more.
feet.
Okay, sorry. I'm looking at two different ones here. So, okay, so
Yeah,
by more. And then the second is applications which propose the creation of five or more residential units, correct?
yes, that's
Okay,
correct.
and then the 2-1 would read applications which propose the creation of less than five residential units or through the conversion of space within an existing building.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right.
Does that make sense to one? Applications which propose the creation of less than five residential units.
Or if you're dealing with an existing building that's not being expanded.
Yeah, I get what you're trying to say. I'm just not sure that sentence makes sense to me. But if y'all think it makes sense, that's
Applications.
fine.
If you figure out something better, send it
Yeah.
to Patrice.
Okay. Okay.
I'm open to suggestions.
Okay. So then, Mike, do you want to continue with the process here?
Sure. Four is sort of codifying the review process that's in place now, just again clarifying that since there wouldn't be a public hearing. Five is sort of language which comes from but is bolst comes from but we've bolstered from the statute. Six is clarifying that you can't come in and say, I want to build four residential units, but also include a Chick-fil-A, and I'd like to do that by summary review. So we're just clarifying any non-residential use.
Has to go through the special permit or site plan, whatever it's allowed by in our current regs.
Right. This isn't like an aircraft carrier application where you just, call it summary review and then pile whatever else on. And these are all implied, but we're just again taking out any discretion or subjectivity.
Also in four, just to note that this is allows for the town engineer, the fire marshal, fire
Yeah.
chief, public works, anybody else that we feel needs to review it, allowed to review it. We so far so good.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So the building materials and design here, and I just before we get into each one of these, Mike and I were discussing this section of unit configuration. You have a lot of things, Tom, that you referred to compliance with the Connecticut State Building Code. And unfortunately, neither Mike and I are certified to do that compliance. And this is done after, obviously the building official is going to look at anything that's going to get built. So it's going to have to meet the code. So it's why I guess we had it the way it was. So I don't know if you want to start with the, we can start with the building. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make you dizzy. Building materials and design. So primary materials, this is all about how it looks. And this is totally up to your guys' discretion. I think to your point, Ellie, some of this is found in the design guidelines, but those are strictly guidelines. They are not anything that are steadfast. I mean, here, if you're putting it in here, this is what you're accepting. So if they come in with a facade that has these materials on it, or we're not going to be able to, we're going to allow it.
And I just in that first section, the light blue 60, because it says 60, and then in it says 60%, and then fulfill the 80% requirement. I think you meant to say shall be used to fulfill the 60% requirement.
Yeah, I think I shifted it. I think it, or the original drafts had 80, and I think to make it a little bit more flexible, we reduced it. So yeah, it should say 60 in both places.
So at least
60%.
I only, okay, so at least 60% of each facade shall be constructed of primary materials. For facades over 1,000 square feet, more than one material shall be used to fulfill the 60%. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah,
Okay.
his in
His
inserts
version
that.
is correct. Okay,
Yes.
gotcha. All right, I'll put it over here then. Okay, yeah, the other one said 80. You're correct.
And
Okay.
what this means, my understanding is you want some really nice materials for 60% of the facade, but the other 40% can be IFAS if you want.
Right, we're not getting into the secondary stuff, so we're giving them some
Okay.
flexibility there.
I happen to think that the panel fiber cement board stuff is super ugly.
The Hardie
That's
board, is that what that
just
is?
my opinion.
Is that Hardie board? It's being used everywhere, and it's one of the reasons is vinyl is, it's durable, it's cleanable, but the monomer is kind of toxic. So there's
Yeah.
so that's the alternative. That's equivalently durable.
Doesn't make it less ugly, though.
Well,
Well, it is a point of a topic of conversation. I mean, you have to also realize where some of these things will be. Maybe on Route 6, that doesn't make as much of a difference as on Route 44, where you have, some older maybe homes that are commercial based or commercially zoned that you want to transform. So, if you're going to fill in housing next to it, maybe you want it to look like that. So maybe you do want to have some control over. Maybe it's the front facade. That's the 60%. I don't know if you can, and have the sides and the rear be the other 40. I don't know how what you think about that, Mike. We hadn't talked about that.
I mean,
You know what I'm saying? Street facing would be
right.
the pretty side, if you will.
I guess it depends on what, and looking at the lots, and are we worried about just how it presents to the street or how it presents to adjacent property or someone else that can see it? And I think there's a fair amount of variation with some of this stuff, and these are pretty consistent materials. So I would say maybe we can, between now and the next meeting, like we can do a little bit more of a review of what some of this stuff might look like to see if we need to strike some of it. But we could certainly make an adjustment so that the it only applied to the front facing facade. That would be We could make that change easily.
I would say street facing facade because, well, if you did like a cottage cluster or something where they're not all facing Route 6, I don't
Right.
know. Yeah, so we have to kind of think about that, I guess. Tom, you had, oh, go ahead, sorry.
Is the cement board used often in construction?
Yes.
It is.
And I have seen tasteful uses of it. I mean, I know what you're talking about. I've definitely seen the ugly versions too, but I think blanket ban is
Yeah,
not.
I get. I mean, I'm very open to like if there are things we can do to make it less ugly,
Yeah.
make it more tasteful and more aligned with.
So you're looking for tactful cement boards.
Yes, can we just put that
Lovely.
in there?
I mean, hopefully, I mean, the thing, because I thought a lot about this while I was thinking through this, like it doesn't seem like developers would be motivated to build ugly buildings or to like kind
Right?
of.
But do they care? Well, they have to sell
They have to, yeah, they have to recoup their investment, you would think. So, I mean,
them.
that maybe, I don't know. So it's like it is a challenge to say like what kind of beautification standards can we put in there to like give them flexibility without like, worrying about a bunch of ugly buildings like showing up.
That is true, but at the same time, it may affect their affordability too. If we say we can only have a narrow, I'm not saying you're saying narrow, but a narrow choice of finishes, that may shoot the housing prices up.
Well, maybe we don't let them do stone, but
Yes, make believe stone, some of this.
That's down veneer.
So you're right.
If you think about it in terms of curb or kill, and these builders come out and they, construct a property, you want that conversion rate of those properties being built. So if you have something on the outside that doesn't really match the local aesthetics, or something that really doesn't conform and look decent, those properties may not be filled. It could lay a little bit vacant for a little extra time. So I think there's a balancing act here as well.
You also have to understand that taste is in your mouth. So most
Right.
people cannot agree on what they like and what they don't like. Some people like ultra modern, some people like colonial, some people like Victorian. So it's all different. But I think it'd be more important if you were doing housing, if you're in a neighborhoody area, if you will, that it sort of fits in that way. And that's, I guess, if I were meeting with a developer, I would just say, you've got this on your left and this on your right. Can you make something that's going to look like it fits?
Yeah, I
The other.
mean, the amount of different things, at least on 44, the amount of different types of construction that's there,
It varies.
it varies a lot. I mean, a real lot.
I think that something to bear in mind is, you're sort of choosing between two options. Option one is maybe think less hard about materials, and the risk is someone builds something that you think is ugly and it stands for the next 60 years. But the alternative, I think, is that someone comes before you and says, "These are not feasible. I cannot make this work. I'd like to do this, but this is not going to work. It's going to cost way too much. I'm going to need $5,000 a unit." And you say, "Okay, then let's do an amendment and let's talk about what we need to amend it to." I think in a case where we don't know the answer, it's always easier to set the bar high and then figure out how to lower it as you become more familiar than kind of whiff it and find out later that one kind of got through. Because, I mean, buildings last longer than uses, right? So that's.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mike and Patrice, would a developer actually come in and talk to you about that, though? They would? Then I think that's a good idea. I mean, I think it varies so much on on Route 6 and Route 44 that, I mean, if it doesn't make sense to put a beautiful brick facade house next to, some of the other houses there, it might actually stand out where if it's not feasible to build that in a cost way, then if they come to you, I would think that would be a great idea.
Tom, can you explain your masonry veneers comment there?
Yes, masonry veneers shall appear as full depth at the corners. And what I'm talking about is you can get thin brick that turns the corner.
Okay.
There's
So
a
that.
lot of I'm seeing a lot of buildings that I'm based on thin brick, and sometimes it's a whole assembly of thin brick on insulation. Remember, I talked about how important the energy code is becoming, and then they just fill in the they fill it with real mortar in between the gaps, but it comes as
as the panels of brick material, and you wouldn't know the difference.
But the reason you want to turn the corner so it looks real.
That's right. And so I just thought it would be shorter to say it this way.
Okay. Mike, do you that make sense to you too? Okay. All right.
What is the 20% transparency piece? I don't understand.
Windows.
Windows. Oh,
Windows.
yeah, fancy words for windows.
The reason I was suggesting to cross it off is,
I'm sorry, I'm messing up here. Where are we going? Okay, there we go. Go ahead.
is that in order to get enough light in to the different rooms, you're gonna end up with that anyway. I think you're gonna end up with that. I don't think we should.
You think that you're going to end up with that because the building codes are going to require it?
That's right. Well, even if it's not. See, you can build as long as you have light and ventilation. It could be mechanical and electrical light and ventilation. You could live there, but nobody wants to because everybody wants a window. They want natural.
Yeah.
So it's a sales thing. I don't think we need to worry about it. And if it ends up that there's some blank wall, one of the walls is blank, what do we care?
Well,
I kind of like the window piece in there.
There are some, I'd say this one end of our road has a cul-de-sac on it. And there's one house there that is a big house and it has absolutely no windows on
Yeah.
one side.
Does that
It
happen?
looks funny, but that's taste.
You
That's
have a
not.
glowing example in the senior housing on Loomis Road. The one wall that's facing the street has no break to it. It's one giant white wall. And the building code didn't require input windows in for that. And
Well, we don't know
it
what's.
is facing a street in this case.
Yeah,
So I
but
don't
at the
know.
same time, we don't know what's inside. I mean, maybe they
I
do
do,
design
because I've been
with.
in. So
Okay.
they easily could have put windows on it.
Oh, they could have. It's not
Yeah.
like closets or something like that out
No,
there.
but it's a
Okay.
clean wall. So the
I
only
would ask.
question I have about that is that, if these places are going to be smaller in size, sometimes if you have a bunch of windows on all sides, you have no place to put furniture.
Right.
Well, and the other thing that I think the reason why I think this probably got in there, what I think about on just on top of wanting to maintain something that visually is consistent with what we're used to seeing on the sides of buildings, fronts, et cetera, are that these could also be mixed use. And so by maintaining some of that transparency element, you sort of, I think, keeping some of the functionality of a that may exist or could be created for a storefront, because obviously they would want some of that forward facing. And when you talk about the price of windows and that type of thing, if someone's constructing it, if they don't have to put it in and it's not going to affect their ability to rent it, they're not gonna. I think that's kind of what led to that. I don't know if that helps or not, but
I
have no
shall
objection to, I have
I
no
was
objection to leaving it in.
okay, I was gonna say, shall we leave it in and see what
Yeah.
happens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, moving on to roof materials, it's my objection to the roof materials that are listed are the same as is the same objection as for the section four roof types. They're all pitched roofs. A lot of affordable housing that's being built today is flat roofs.
But we're not talking about affordable housing, we're just talking about housing, right?
I know that, but the question is, why are we forcing people to put pitched roofs on?
Because they look nicer and they align with what we're used to seeing.
What do you do, Mike, if you have a commercial building that has a flat roof and you're turning it into housing? Does he then have to put on a fake roof with a gable and the whole deal?
Well, so that's how that's sort of in some of the examples of the conversions, what we're trying to get to. And then there's also the section at the end, which sort of allows for that conversation to take place. And yeah, I think both just the comments about what to do about this, I think both are valid. It's just a question of what position should it take. It is absolutely going to be more expensive to build one of the types that are shown here. And so yes, it would have an effect on cost for sure. The question is, what are the standards and how do we maintain consistency and again length that a building stands, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know that there is a right answer. I think either has value. It's just a matter of what position the commission wants to take. So we can certainly strike them, but it was easier to kind of include all that just for to think about.
And this has to be one set of standards, like is applied universally. So we can't say in a certain zone we can carve out an exception or something.
You if you knew explicitly what the exception was and the zone you wanted to apply it to, you could do that, sure.
My concern, I agree with you, Ellie, but I also feel like I don't, for commercial conversions, I worry about putting too much of a burden on developers that they're not going to want to do it. I mean, because we're trying to balance the, encouraging developers to build housing and, kind of looks. So,
So you're thinking just about the roof, like allowing flat roofs?
I mean, I was going to say the same thing about windows, and then I kind of decided not to because honestly, like, I don't think we would want to encourage housing without windows. So.
But at the same time, I'm thinking like what Michael's saying is that this is something that we usually send if we put the standard high with the windows, that maybe it can be tapped down a bit for particular projects about being on all sides. Is that right, Mike?
That you could consider adjusting or reducing or adding flexibility to later. You could do that just like, you do now with a, it would just be the regular amendment. So
So let me say this for a second here. If they're building new construction, not converting, would you not want to encourage a pitched roof as opposed to a flat roof?
In new construction, aren't they almost always putting on pitch roofs of one type or another? Even now, for smaller projects, not
A
for the
flat.
30-bit thing.
Oh, well, the Veterans Terrace in East Hartford, that's all pitched roofs, but the one in New London and the one in West Hartford, all flat roof.
And how many units are there?
100 units.
And were they putting utilities in the roof? Is that why they do that?
Solar
Solar
panels
panels.
and solar panels and condensers, yeah.
I don't know. I think I like pitch roofs. Seems like it'd be safer.
I if you want to leave this as this is, before the next meeting, if you'd like, I could do a survey along 44 and 6 anyway to see how many existing flat roofs we have
I
that
think the
might.
only one is the lake house, and they actually tried to put a roof on that.
But they're already housing, Jim. I'm talking about commercial buildings that could get converted. And I think you're right. I don't think there's many. That's why I'm willing to do the
I think
survey. I
it's the
think it's a
hardware
handful.
store, right?
I think so too. I think everything else has a pitched roof on it. But I'm willing to do the drive and count the buildings, take some pictures if you want, and we can see. Because the reason I'm saying this is because if you're trying to, again, squeeze these things into areas that have existing buildings, you may not want to put a flat roof in the middle of an area that has pitched roofs.
Yeah, I think that would be really helpful, Patrice, if you are willing to do
All
that.
right. So we can leave this now. We'll refer it with it this way, and we can take a look at that at the next meeting. And if we have to change it, we can change it. before the hearing.
Yeah.
Sounds
Okay.
that work, Mike?
Yeah, sure. It's
Okay.
always easy to rather push delete than try to add it back in the middle of the hearing.
Exactly. All right, building elements. You had kind of struck all of this, Tom. So do you want to talk
So,
through this or?
I'm sorry, before we jump to
Oh, sorry.
number three, I do want to touch on number two, roof materials. So it looks like, so Tom, this is your mocked-up document here. Yes. Okay. The only thing I was looking at in terms of potentially excluding was wood shingles and shakes. And reason being, in terms of justification, is that out of all the listed other roof types, wood shingles and shakes, they have the lowest lifespan and they also are the most expensive to maintain. There's also fire concerns. Like if that maintenance is not upkept, the fire spread index is the highest amongst those roofing types. And I think that would be something to kind of consider to exclude. And you think about a roof is, I would argue, probably the most important part of a house, because that is what shields you from the elements. It also is the point that gets the most exposure from Mother Nature and natural elements. Roof shingles, if they're not, wood shingles, if they're not upkept, they easily rot, they can split, mold. Those are all frequent occurrences and have a higher probability than the other roof types. And if we're going to put this on a large 2-to-9 unit building, would the fire, would the fire marshal also have something to say about that in terms of their ability, in heaven forbid there was a fire, how quickly they would be able to respond and how quickly that fire could potentially spread with roof shingles. I just want to put that out for discussion as well.
Okay, I think we could leave it as it is, except strike wood shingles and shakes.
One of the things I was thinking about is advanced technology. There's been talk about roofing shingles that are solar.
Oh, you can get them. You can
Are
get them.
they listed here?
You can get them now.
They're not listed, but you can get
They're
them.
metal. Let me know.
They're metal? Okay.
Yeah.
Usually, like I believe Tesla has that, and there's another company that offers solar
Yeah,
shingles.
it says metal tiles.
Okay.
I think they would fall under that.
So, do we have a consensus to take wood shingles and shakes out?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
I have no strong feelings.
All right, we will do that. Moving on to building elements.
Okay, and the reason that I struck this is what I said at the last meeting. All these cute things make it very difficult to comply with the energy code. And the reason that I didn't change the primary materials very much is because when you don't do all these Victorian, Italianate sort of things, the only way to make the facade interesting is the change of materials, and that's very frequently done now. So, like I have no objection to leaving this in, but if you put it in, you're going to make it harder on the builders.
I guess, like, help me understand, because the way it's written, it says just ex you're expected to incorporate one or more of the following elements. So they could do like,
But that's not what we're showing. We're showing something that has everything.
yeah, but the way that it's written, it
Yeah.
just says one or
Yeah.
more. So I feel like that, like, is that truly like a huge burden to just like, if you're going to put in shutters, like they could pick shutters. That's one element that
That
doesn't
sits on
seem like
the
it would.
outside. That's right.
And if the graphic is confusing, we can certainly delete it. The intention was really to educate, because some of these terms are not used elsewhere in the regs, and so it shows how you could apply those treatments to a building. But if you think it creates a
No,
sense of
it's fine. It's really just a visual list. That's what it is.
right.
Yeah, we're not requiring all of them, so I think if we, they have to incorporate one or two of them, I think it's fine. I mean, I think the picture makes it look like that's what we're looking for.
The picture does make it a little ambiguous. So I can see the confusion.
But I think you're right, Mike. I think it shows what those things are because some people would see those listed and not understand what they are.
Like a pilaster
Right.
or a cornice.
I still don't know what that is.
And this
Same.
is, and having a graphic like this is something that staff could talk about when someone comes in to apply.
It's easier, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. But especially if you can tell them that they don't have to ruin their vapor barriers by attaching something.
Everything. Yeah. Stick
You don't have
people
to.
on top and call it a day.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll leave it in as it is now.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
And I think we can say the same thing about roof types that we've already discussed that extensively.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
Unit.
now my reason for adding all this stuff in the blue was because it's going to be done by summary review, and you need a lot of detail as to what you're expecting. And I was trying to make, standard. These are some standard things that I learned when I was using the HUD minimum property standards. So that's all it is.
I think we were going through these, and there are some that I think we my preference would be to strike, but there are many that I think we could maintain or combine, and I think are fine to include. We just maybe need to restate a couple of things.
Yeah. Why don't staff come back with their detailed responses? That'll be fine.
Yeah,
Okay.
I think there's some of this stuff. I was just having this conversation. I probably mentioned it in Vernon, and they thought that they were doing right by a prior application and not pertaining to summary review by saying they wanted the units to have storage. And so the developer literally put like high school lockers in the units and said, there's your storage. And so that sort of started this conversation and this thought process about, Mansfield used to have regulations that said you had to have space that could fit a dining room table of at least this size that could include this at least this many chairs. And so a lot of this stuff I think we can keep. We'll just refine it a little.
Right. So the original regulation said each unit shall contain independent living facilities, including provisions for living, sleeping, eating, cooking, laundry, sanitation, and personal storage. And then I think from there, Mike and I can go through and list whatever we feel we could add to that. Does that sound all right?
And the
Okay.
reason that I don't want you to have independent laundry is because it's expensive. Now you might have to have it in order to sell it. That's a marketing issue. But if this were affordable housing, you can have up to 20 units on a pair on a single automatic washer and dryer. And so if they had a, and since we're talking about developments of 2 to 9 units, they could save some costs if they just had a laundry room with the equipment in it and people that people could use.
You just want to save these developers all the money.
Well,
Saving your customers and your people the money.
When we get down to the maximum size, we'll talk about more of my strategy.
Okay.
All right, so Mike and I will take a look at that.
Yeah,
But
you
if
take
you
a look.
have if you don't have, I mean, if you have 3 to 9 units and you have one laundry room, there's still going to have to be space provided for that laundry room, though, right?
Right, there'd That's have right. to be some common space.
So it would mm-hmm. be, and we were, I know in the last meeting you guys talked about, you know, having slabs and basements and,
no basement.
I mean, wouldn't it be taking up more square footage to put a laundry room in for 9 homes?
Well, I think what Tom was saying is like choice. I mean, you can slip now laundry into almost anywhere in a home, and maybe a buyer would say, I want my own personal laundry, and that could be part of the house design that they choose.
But do you think a builder's going to come in and sell the units without being built? Don't you think a builder would go in and build the units and then sell them?
Model unit.
I think that most of what we're talking about here is rental. Okay. I think this is going to mostly apply to the rental market.
Yeah. Okay. Unless they're like a cottage cluster, Mike, where they're, well, unless they're condoed or something, I guess you might see those go for sale if they're individual units. But I would agree with Mike that the majority of this is going to be rental.
Well, I'm thinking that they're going to be condo, what we think of as condos, side-by-side townhouse units. And the reason for that is you build them one above another, you have to sprinkle them. Whereas you can build them side-by-side, you get away without sprinklers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's huge. That's what I'm thinking.
All right. Well, we'll run through the list and include the things we feel match. All right. So I guess we're at site layout and design. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike, we can only require maximum, right? We can't require that they have a minimum parking space.
Yes, we can.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
This legislation also says anything under 16, you can't establish a minimum or deny for lack of. So you can set a cap. Okay. So I think, the language that I had, that's why I had should, because we're trying to come as close to shall without saying shall.
It.
This is not going to be an issue here because nobody's going to provide these units without parking. There's just no way you can, you know, unless somebody has a lifetime subscription to Uber, they're going to need, you know, one and a half, 1.75 spaces per unit.
I don't hate the idea of a max. I like the maximum of 2 if we can throw in a max there.
So we talked about this on whatever day it is, yesterday. I think that it is a good idea, and it is a relevant and valid planning principle. The only thing that I think may come up here is that, you know, you probably fall under the realm of towns that have required more parking for commercial uses than was necessary historically. And so somebody would be in a situation where they're going to have a non-conforming conversion, and they're not going to be able to meet it because the existing parking lot has too many. And so that would mean they would have to remove them.
Sure.
So, you know, you guys, and maybe that's what you want, but just something to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's okay. So I like how it's worded then, a ratio of 1 space per unit. Cause I think that's a fair point.
Which do you like, Ellie? I'm sorry. The way it was, or what Tom's got?
I think the way it was, having heard the rationale.
Parking spaces should be provided at a ratio of 1 space per unit.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. What
if a person has 2 space, like most people, if they're sharing an apartment, are going to have 2 cars? Where's the other person going to park?
Well, they should have 1 per unit. That means they can have more than that.
Yeah.
So let's say they build them with, well, they probably won't, but if they build them with garages, then you'd have a garage space and a place in front of the garage. If they don't build them with garages, then, you know, it depends on how long the driveway is. It depends on, You know, if there's a street, if you can do on street parking, that sort of thing.
Sometimes they'll have like a little pool area for visitors that the resident overflow can use to, that's unassigned to apartments, just an open parking area.
How about the second one, parking in the front yard? Do you have, again, this could be a problem if you've got a commercial business. And the one I'm thinking of is up near Cropley's. There used to be there still is a business up there where the parking is all in the front. It looks like a little house.
Yeah.
With a side on it, but the parking is in front. And that could easily be converted into units. So I don't know if you want to not allow parking in the front yard or not.
We park in our front yard.
I really wanted to not allow parking in the front yard, but I understand and I kind of see that maybe it doesn't make sense for this because, like you said, there are existing.
Yeah. Mike, could we qualify this? Could we say you can't put new parking in the front yard, but if parking exists and they're using it in the conversion, that's okay.
That would be good language.
Sure,
you can do that. So maybe we do that, and
should we do the same thing for spaces?
What was that?
Should we do the same thing for maximum spaces?
Yeah, if the spaces currently exist, then they are what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on how. Far you'd want to take it, the easiest thing to do would be to leave all of this language as is, and then, you know, we could include a line somewhere that says any valid and established, you know, non-conformity will be permitted to remain. We could codify that to say if you have something because you've got an existing building, then it can stay.
Any valid pre-existing?
Right. Any valid or lawfully established pre-existing nonconformity, some towns would say, as of the date of the effective date of this regulation, is permitted to remain. So if you've got parking in the front, you can stay, but you can't add to it.
What if the thing's demolished?
I like that. I like that.
And there's new construction.
Well, so yeah, and that is kind of, it speaks to the situation of somebody who, you know, builds a building or says, I'm going to do a commercial use, and then says, oh, this isn't working. But now that I've got, you know, 80 parking spaces in front of the building, because your commercial standards wouldn't prohibit it, it sort of prevents that sort of weird conversion.
If there was a place, say England Hardware was converted to units, they could just leave that whole parking lot there.
Trying to make sure that I have the right building in mind. If it's been lawfully established, based on what that we're contemplating right now.
Is that something we want, though? I mean, it holds.
You don't want them to be ripping up a whole parking lot, do you? I mean, you could, I guess, but.
Well, my only concern is for a place like that we're allowing parking in the front, a large parking lot, and if they built, say they put, I don't know, 15 units in there, I mean, there's 60 parking spaces. I mean, are they going to just, people just going to park all over the place? I don't know. I'm just asking. I could see where that would be a mess.
It could be a mess, but again, you can break it up into smaller sections. You can add shrubs, you know, kind of thing. You can make it a little more. But let's say you take England's. The land falls right off of the back. You know, where are you going to put parking?
I'm just asking the question. I mean, that's a huge parking lot. I mean,
yeah, I think that's a valid question.
I mean, we have to look at this of where this would happen, I think, in the town. I mean, there's not a lot of places on 44, at least, you know, other than like the hardware store, maybe where the self-storage unit is, maybe where the old, where, you know, I think some of those are the buildings that would be, if anything was going to be converted, it would be there because there's nothing
Yeah.
else really big enough to convert anywhere, is there? On 44?
That's why I was going to do the drive, Jim, but I think you're right.
I mean, there's nothing else big enough there. I mean, and if you go down, if you're going towards Manchester from the Notch, heading west, I mean, you've got the car wash, you've got those places. I don't know. I mean, I think the places with the big parking lots, I don't know. I would just be afraid there'd be, next thing you know, we'd come by where England's is and there's apartments there and there'd be boats sitting in the parking lot and everything else out front. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the places that would be converted
Livable.
that have huge parking areas, and there's only a couple because there's really, other than Munson's and the Ice Palace on Route 6, there's nothing else that has
Large
a large
parking.
amount of parking, right? And really, those are the only two corners because does Route 85, and there's nothing on Route 85 either.
There's a couple things on Route 85, but there's nothing with large parking area in front like that.
Yeah. So that would be my only concern. I mean, yeah, I don't want someone to tear up the parking lot, but I don't know. I just think as an aesthetic thing, I mean, just a thought.
Yeah,
Yeah.
let me look at what buildings there are so that we can sort of address it that way. I mean, honestly, I don't see England's and all that going into housing. It's
Oh, me
crapshoot.
either. I'm just saying, but
It's a
those are the only
crapshoot,
buildings that
but
would ever do that.
right. So, I mean, if there's nothing else that has large parking in front, maybe we don't need to worry about it.
Right. I mean, the church isn't, I don't think the churches would ever convert. I mean, so no, anyone, there's nothing else that really has a large parking area. If the place before the garden center, and across the street at Lyndale Farm, and there's no parking there anyways now. So whatever they would do would have to be new.
Okay, we're approaching 9 o'clock, and I'd like to offer a way that we can accomplish what we want to do and still get out soon. So we had comments from myself, Kwan, and Ellie, and we've addressed Kwan's. And as far as anything I've had to say, if you like it, you can keep it in. If you don't like it, you can go back to whatever the way it was. And if there's something that you don't understand, you can always call me.
Okay.
Okay.
So the only other thing I would like to bring up real quick, and I know it's getting me 90. So on the landscaping, I do have one other issue. I don't think we should require a tree every 30 feet in the front.
Why?
Well,
It's a lot.
years ago I did a subdivision and that was required by the town. So we went in and planted all these trees every 30 feet and of course, it was a while ago. I don't want to say how many years ago it was, but now the town's in there taking those trees down because at 30 feet, if they're, and our restriction was we had to plant maples. There was two different kinds of maple and oaks. And the problem is that 30 feet is not enough room for those trees to grow. So they actually completely encroached the whole street. So I think at some point we should look at that. And I think that's in our subdivision regulations too.
It's 50 feet.
Is it 50 feet?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think 30 feet's close. I'm just, again, if we had large parcels that we were worried about, but we don't really have large parcels that are going to require, that are going to be kind of smaller. That was the only comment. I mean, that was.
So the one thing that I would say is if you, the way that it's written, and this isn't necessarily intentional because I didn't mirror this off of the subdivision regs. It says they shall be provided for every 30 feet of frontage. Doesn't necessarily mandate that to be the spacing. So if you have 300 feet, you need 10 trees. How you allocate them can be whatever you deem to be appropriate, but they need to be in on your frontage. So you could create clusters or you could space them out however you want. But the way that it's worded there, it doesn't require they be consistently spaced every 30 feet, stamped out, in a line.
Okay.
But we could certainly adjust it, or we could reduce that standard.
I have a question. What is the zoning for the area around the school, Bolton Center School?
Residential.
We have an empty lot there now where the old center school was removed. And we briefly mentioned that that might be a good size site for housing. That would qualify under all these categories, right? For zones and what?
No, because I don't think it's zoned. It's zoned, I believe, residential. I'm looking just to be sure,
Yeah.
but.
Oh.
Bolton Center Road.
See, schools and town facilities are allowed in R1.
Yeah, it's in R1.
Is it municipally owned? Because isn't the town exempt?
The town is exempt, right? So the town can do whatever it wants.
Town could use housing.
Right.
I'm listening. Awesome.
All right, is there any of this other stuff?
Well, and I was going to suggest the same, this, if Ellie was agreeable, the same thing for Ellie's suggestions, you could incorporate them or not, or ask her.
Yeah, and they gave me some good feedback.
Okay.
So
So, in
I
the
guess.
lighting, Ellie, just so you know, you mentioned dark skies. This is dark sky compliant.
Cool. Thank you. I don't know enough to know. I just know enough to be a little dangerous.
This ref basically reflects, and the graphic is in there, which I think is probably a better way, but it is reflective of those
Yeah.
same re sort of requirements. But
Okay.
the dark sky stuff, basically, you have the fixture. If it meets the standards and you pay them, then you can have their little seal on your plan. So we're holding those provisions, but not requiring the seal, just to make it a little
Gotcha.
bit more flexible. But yeah.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Mike, do you added a lot in the open space amenities, Tom. Can
Yeah.
we just talk about that for a minute?
Sure.
Mike, you addressed when we were talking about this, you explained it pretty well to me, but it was basically we're looking for green space here as opposed to we're just looking for them to provide something. So if you have a dog, you can take your dog out. Maybe you have kids, you can go play. We're not really
Yeah.
requiring them to include, playground equipment or all of that. But just something so that there's something on site that you can go to a green area to be at.
And I think the other thing
Yeah.
that we were trying to, or the reason we kind of left it open, is that in some cases they may be provided in tandem with the unit, and in other places it may sort of be aggregate on the site for all of them. Somebody wants to have like a backyard space, then they might be unit by unit. So we're trying to kind of leave it open so that it can be laid out based upon the parcel.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And also going to, did you add water supplies, or did we didn't have water supply and septic because that it has to meet the public health code. So that's why that wasn't included in there. I noticed you've added all this. This is if they can't meet this, they can't meet it. So I
Yeah.
don't think it's something we have to actually include like that.
Well, what I was trying to say is that, you have the standards, but for the purposes of the regulation, we would accept that you would could buy an easement on an adjacent property if you needed to get the well space for the well, the clearance for the well,
So
or
that's
something.
and water supply. I mean, but couldn't public health allow that without us?
I'll have to, that's a question I'll have to look up.
Okay.
I think they require when you have a well and septic, it has to be on the property. I think but I will look.
Okay.
Can we go back to landscape design for just one second?
Yes.
I guess, is there any reason that we, because I see in here some, like in some places it says like specifies native trees and some places it doesn't. Could we just, is there any reason to not throw in native in front of anywhere it specifically calls out trees, shrubs, plantings?
We can put it in there or clarify it. That's no big deal.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I was just curious if there was a reason.
Jim Cropley, do you have a problem with that?
No.
Okay. I didn't think you would. I just wanted to be sure our resident landscaper there.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, nowadays, there's not a lot of real true
native
plants. They've hybridized them to some point for good reasons. But yeah, I think they should be natives.
Just so we don't get a bunch of like burning bush or whatever.
I don't think we can.
I don't think you can. Well, but that's how, I mean, that's
what. No, you can still buy them.
You can still buy them.
Yeah, and there's actually new varieties that aren't as invasive as the old varieties.
Okay. Mike, is there anything else we need a decision from them before just sending something for referral to Krog? I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, I mean, so my thought would be that we will go through and refine, but, you know, as we make decisions on any of the comments received now or that we will get, you know, we'll essentially put all of it in here and then we can always delete further. But right, we'll go through and we'll add everything that we think needs to be in there, and then we can just go through and delete what we think isn't needed. But it was sort of err on the side of including it all so that we have a more refined draft, but it has everything we might want in it.
This table should be the topic of conversation though at the next meeting, because we gotta have agreement here on this stuff.
Do we want to start that conversation now, or
no?
Do people want no? Is there some sort of like rule that we don't go past 9 p.m.?
Yes.
Okay.
And other than that, I mean, I think that's really the last big piece. Is getting agreement on this table. So you all have Tom's table in front of you. Take a look at it, and anything in the blue is Tom's figure, and you're not going to be able to see that. I can email this if you think that would be easier to see. And then if you have the original, the original sheet that you have is what's currently allowed. Okay, so you have two versions of this.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's I will send it. I don't know. I'm going to have to figure out how I'm going to send it with what filled in, but okay.
I'm interested in talking about maximum impervious coverage with you, Tom. Each table, both of the tables on one page.
What was that?
Could you include both tables on one page, Tom's and.
Could I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably could do that.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Reese, did you note the time that I walked in?
No, I didn't, Quan. I was going to ask. Thank you.
7:50 is what I had.
Okay.
Approximately.
Thanks.
You know, I just wanted to add one more comment. You know, the last meeting, I wasn't there, but I did listen to the tape. And Patrice, you had asked about what the town people liked. And years ago, and maybe Tom was there, when we were doing the plan of conservation and development, we actually had a thing at the town hall where we had all these little areas set up of what was important to the people in the town. And you put your tickets in, you voted for like 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yep.
And actually, affordable housing was one of the highest vote getting things that the people in the town said they wanted. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that's one of the things that did come up as the highest vote getter. Do you remember that, Tom?
Yes.
Just came out of my head. Okay. I get, oh, meetings. What do you want to do? Do you want me to set a public hearing date here?
Well, don't we have to?
Well,
Yeah.
yeah, and I need to, because I got to get a legal notice in, so I want to make sure I have enough time.
So you said 6:24, right?
Yeah, does that work for everybody? It's a Wednesday. Mike, does that work for you by any chance? June 24th?
Would that
I
be
think
regular?
I think I'll
No,
be
the
out.
regular meeting's the 10th. If I wait till the 10th, I won't have enough time to schedule the public hearing legal notice.
I have something else tentative. I don't know if it will happen or not. So I would be a 50-50.
There's at least two of us out of town that day.
You want to shoot? I can't do the 17th. You'd have to pick another. You want to do it July 1st? Or pick another night that's not your regular meeting. It's not a Wednesday.
That's going to take special notice.
Well, they're all going to take special notice. Are
So
they going
how
to run
far ahead
into?
do we have to have the special notice?
What was that?
If we had another meeting other than our regular meeting, because really this is a plan. Don't we always have an alternate meeting for this week?
No.
Oh, we used to, right? Because
A
we used to meet
long
twice a
time,
month.
ago,
Yeah,
Jim.
I'm getting too old.
How are people set up for the 23rd?
I will be out of state.
Oh, you're just okay. All right.
That whole week.
The whole week, all right.
I mean, you could do it without me.
Are you talking June?
Yeah.
I guess while we're looking at all of our calendars, I have I guess a piece of feedback and maybe a request. We first, I think, like Patrice asked us all to look and think about the summary review at our February meeting, and then it sort of fell off the radar for a couple months. So I would just like, it feels like we're kind of trying to cram it all into a short period of time. So maybe in the future, when these things come up, we can do a little better job of keeping them sort of on the agenda in a timely manner so we don't find ourselves in this situation again.
You
This
know,
is
Mike.
we're trying to do something extraordinary. That's what the situation.
And we really didn't have all this stuff quite in February either. Mike, do you see harm at this point in waiting until the 8th to hold the public hearing of July? I mean, I know it's after the 1st. I don't think we have a line of applicants out the door waiting to come in. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's pretty low risk because it says you'd have to treat it by summary review, but there's no process established now. So it's not like he can say, oh, there's no rules that they don't apply to me. So I wouldn't have a ton of heartburn if, but if you did the referral, I mean, I think you'd get it
I'd
back
still
by
do the
the.
referral now. I'd still do the referral so it's back in time. And then if you guys want, we can just meet on the 10th, figure it out, make sure and finalize everything, and then go to public hearing on July 8th, which is your regular meeting.
I think that sounds good.
Anybody else? That sound okay to everybody?
Yeah.
All right. So our next meeting is going to be on June 10th, and I will send out a revised copy. Why can't I find my date here? There we go. I'll send out a revised copy beforehand so you can all look at it, and I'll send the tables out before that. Hopefully maybe tomorrow so that you can take a look and just let me know your feelings on the different things in the tables. And we can hopefully finalize everything on the 10th.
Sounds good.
All right. Oh, I suppose I could stop sharing here. There we go.
Okay, Jim, we need you.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Second.
Second, Kwan Gordon. All in favor say aye.
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 Meeting's adjourned at 9:12 p.m.